Join us now for Midnight Cab Number 6, The Mystery of the Face in the Window.
Walker, are you there? Where are you?
Hey, Krista, working a mall in Dufferin.
You want to pick up?
Nope, I'll stick with the mall. I'm making a fortune.
Three more double sips and you'll be rich, eh?
Hey, I've got to buy Christmas presents too.
I know. I can hardly wait to open them.
Krista? Krista? Oh, sure, right. Six sisters, three brothers-in-law, two nieces, three nephews, three grandparents, and my mother, and Krista Papadopoulos. Great. Maybe I'll buy her a shorter name.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Hey, Santa.
And have you been a good little boy? Ho, ho, ho! Naughty bugger, eh? Well, that's all right. Santa loves naughty buggers, too. I'd be one myself if I had any strength left.
Tough day, eh, Santa?
Standing outside for 12 hours, ringing this damn bell. Being run over by surly-mouthed, stampeding consumers. Beard pulled and snapped back like countless ruffians. Attempted robbery twice.
Jeez, so where do you want to go?
King and Dufferin. I have to hand in the loot, and then, if you'd be so kind, the Spadina Hotel as quickly as possible. Santa needs a shot of rye. In fact, Santa might need two or three.
December 16th. I was making a lot of money ferrying people home with their armloads of presents until I got sidetracked by Santa. You get sidetracked a lot in Toronto. So many things, like clubs and movies and clubs and girls and clubs. Why is it that girls and clubs are always so strange? Maybe it's a rule. They can't get in unless they're from another planet. I don't know. Not that I've had that much experience. I've been in Toronto, what, about 5 months? I'm supposed to be writing a novel. All I've got to show for it so far is this notebook. I keep getting sidetracked.
Here we are, King and Dufferin.
And how much are you going to charge dear old Santa so far?
$9.
And how much for the rest of the trip?
$12 should do it.
I see.
Santa sat back and rummaged around in his large plastic collection bowl full of twos and fives and loonies. He looked about 60 years old under his beard. Not so old. His eyes tired, though. Dull. I looked at him in the mirror and wondered what road he'd traveled and where he thought he was going when he first started out to end up playing Santa Claus. Maybe he thought he was going to write a novel.
Look at this.
What is it?
Somebody's stuck a note in here.
Yeah, what's it say?
Read it yourself.
Dear Santa, help Karen.
Great. Must have been a million kids walked by me today, at least.
And the printing looks about 6 or 7. I wonder what's wrong.
How would I know? Now, $12.
Make it 6. The other half, it can go to, well, whatever you're collecting for.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Crippled kids.
So what?
Could be a joke.
It doesn't look like a joke.
Oh, look at him, a warrior. You're going to be an old man before your time. You're going to drop dead. And look at me. Am I a warrior? Am I in top shape, eh?
Hey, Alfonso. If we answer that, can we still work here?
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Go ahead. Go ahead. Take your best shot. Come on. Hit me in the stomach.
Which one?
yeah. Wise guys. You two are made for each other. You know that? You should have 100 children and scare the world. Give me that note. Dear Santa, help Karen. I don't know. I mean, it could be anything, right? What can we do about it? It looks like a note from a little kid.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
Walker.
Hey, Krista.
What are you doing?
Just cruising. Thinking.
Yeah? What?
Oh, where I'm going, I guess. Where I'm not going, I don't know. Time goes by.
Walker, quarter. At last count, you were only 19.
Yeah. So what are you? Old?
Older than you. Better looking. Smarter.
Yeah, but are you experienced?
Are you experienced?
Jimi Hendrix. But he wasn't talking about what you're talking about. He was talking about drugs.
I know that.
Besides, it takes two, Walker. It takes two. That shuts you up, eh?
For now. Krista, that note. What do you think?
Oh, Walker. Maybe she just wants Santa to help her make it a good Christmas.
Yeah?
Or maybe it's just some numbnut who wrote it that way, you know, for a joke. Or maybe...
Maybe she's being hurt, or maybe she's being grabbed off the street by someone.
I know. But the thing is, Walker, like, it's a huge city. We'll never find out. You think I don't care?
No. I just can't let it go by, that's all. What if she was, well, my little niece or something?
I know. I'm glad you can't let it go by, Walker.
I've been thinking. Would a little kid in trouble write a note first and then try to find a Santa, or would she see Santa first, get the idea, then write the note?
Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Santa. Remember me?
Huh?
Yesterday. The cab driver.
Oh, yes, yes. Here's a piece of advice, young fellow. If you like your rye, never take a job ringing a bell.
I guess. So you stand out here all day?
Every blessed minute. Except when I go into the mall for refreshments and to warm up.
This is where you were yesterday.
All day yesterday, all day the day before, all day tomorrow. Ho, ho, ho! Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Santa was standing in front of the glass doors at one end of the mall. I stood beside him and looked around. A few cars at the edge of the parking lot were visible off to my right. A child could possibly be sitting in a car, see him, have a pencil and piece of paper, but... I looked across the street. A row of houses, gloomy in the half-light, looked back. Brick, 2.5 and 3 stories, sitting up on a long embankment. Most were obscured by trees and at bad angles, but the three, directly across the street, had a clear view of Santa.
Hey, guys, hi. How are you?
Hi.
Neat snowman.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I'm looking for Karen's house. Do you guys know where Karen lives?
Karen?
Yeah.
Who's Karen?
Well, I
don't know any Karen. There's no Karen that lives around here. Do you know where she lives?
No. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh.
Something about boys of a certain age, like they're wired to another world. Or like they've all been hit on the head with a 2x4. I used to be like that. The streetlights went on. Two women, middle-aged, arm in arm, crossed at the crosswalk and turned into one of the three houses, the biggest one, climbed up the snowy steps and along the snowy walk and disappeared inside. A man, wearing a tweed overcoat with a velvet collar, carrying a large package, came out of one of the other two houses and hurried away along the street. O'Connor, Seb, and Nick Bisky, accountants. It was closer to the sidewalk. Every light in the place was on. I said goodbye to the guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Okay. Bye. Say hi to Karen for us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Later.
And walked along past the accountant's place, past the big house with its stone wall and snowy walks, and stood in front of the third house. It was more run down than the other two. Water-stained curtains that didn't quite fit. Torn blinds on the upstairs windows. A tired and sagging front porch. There was a sign stuck in the window of the front door. Room to let. I stood there for a moment. Then turned. I could see Santa standing in a halo of light far across the road.
$150, first of every week. Common bathroom down the hall. There's a kitchen at the back. Fridge, stove. No hot plates allowed in the room.
Seems like an okay neighborhood. Tough to rent this time of year?
Very safe neighborhood. Okay. This is the room. You got your bed. A water bed. Right? Uh-huh. I can change it if you like. Most guys like water beds.
Yeah.
You got your dresser. Your closet. Mirror on the wall. You can see it's a nice room. Clean.
Yeah. How many other tenants you got living here?
Right now I got 5. All decent people, no trouble. There's trouble. Goodbye, you're gone. Got no time for that bullshit, right?
Uh-huh.
People want a decent place to live. Am I right?
You're right. Do you live here?
No, I don't live here. I got 5 houses. Me and my partner, I live in Ajax.
Oh, any, children? Kids live here?
No, too noisy. Not worth it.
How about next door, the big house? Do they have children?
What? You allergic?
No, I just wondered, that's all. I work nights.
Listen, 12 rooms, and 2 women are living in there all alone. And I know, I asked, I wanted to buy it.
Not for sale?
No, she was nice enough, nice lady, but down the nose. Now people look at you down the nose.
Yeah?
Definitely not for sale. La-dee-da. Come on, and I'll show you the bathroom.
It was dark by the time I got back out in the street. Santa was still standing in the cold in front of the mall. I walked back down the sidewalk, stopped in front of the house with the stone wall. A few of the downstairs windows glowed faintly with light. Most of the windows were dark. And then, a light went on in a small upstairs window on the 3rd floor, just under the gable. At first, I wasn't sure that what I was seeing was what I was seeing. I climbed up the snowy steps, peering up at the window, then hopped up on the wall and walked along the top of it until I was directly below. Then I was sure. Taped to the window, there was a child's cutout of a snowman and a Christmas tree.
You what?
I went back and told the guy I'd take the room. Oops.
How much did it cost you?
2 weeks in advance, $300.
Oh, there goes Christmas.
Yeah.
So now you got this place and another place.
Yeah.
Walker, what are you gonna do? Sit in your room over there and peek out the window at them?
The window faces the wrong way.
Come here.
What's that for?
For being a nutcase.
Usually, the guy does the first kiss.
So call the cops. Here, let's see that note again. Dear Santa, help Karen. I don't know. 2 women, it seems.
Could happen. Maybe they're lonely. People kidnap children. Try to think of something that's never happened. I bet you can't.
Well, I don't read the National Enquirer.
I don't read the National Enquirer.
I know one thing that's never happened.
What's that?
You've never played anything but Sonny Boy Williamson since I've been coming over.
I thought you liked Sonny Boy.
I do. I like him. I'm just pointing it out, that's all.
Oh.
Walker.
Yeah?
If there is a little kid in that house, what are we gonna do?
Christa Papadopoulos. She tasted like... warm. And soft. She tasted like incredibly warm and soft. Her lips, I mean. The part of my brain that doesn't do any thinking. It just went... Holy cow. And it was a quick kiss, too. It wasn't any big deal. She's been up to my place 4 times now, over the pawn shop. I have to carry her. It's 3 flights up. When Debbie first saw us, she lives down the hall, she just passed by and gave me a wink. Then she saw that Christa was holding onto her crutches behind my back. Funny how her expression changed. The second time she was up to my place, she told me about her dates. She said, if women have to be careful who they go out with, Try being a woman who can't get away. She's had some crummy dates. I don't know, it made me feel real strange. I think she's trying to do something to my head.
Hi.
Yes?
A big job, eh? Lots of snow.
I can manage. Thank you very much.
You know, the place where I come from, Big River? Well, sometimes we get a foot of snow in October and it stays on the ground until the middle of May.
Look, I'm not interested. Thank you.
Oh, I'm your neighbor. I just moved in next door.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were looking for work.
Oh, no. I'm busy. It's the busy season for me. I'm a cab driver.
Oh.
Well, you should get someone to plow this out. It's a long driveway.
Well, the man who used to do it for me, he's gone out of business. And I couldn't find anyone else on such short notice, and I have to get my car out.
Oh, well, do you have an extra shovel?
No.
Look, here. Let me spell you off for a while. I mean, I'm getting out of shape sitting in the cab. It'll do me good. Come on.
Well, all right, but I'll have to pay you.
What?
I mean, if you finish off the drive, I will pay you. $20.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thanks. And then I'll give it back to you. Like I say, I'm from a small town.
She stood there and watched me for a long while, her face thin and strained looking in the cold air, light brown hair turning gray, an old overcoat pulled tight to her throat. And then she turned and walked back behind the house. I finished off the driveway, then hurried out to the front and started shoveling the sidewalk. Every time I rested, I glanced up at the window under the gable, expecting to see a little face peering down at me. But the window remained empty. But somebody was watching me. I could feel it. I worked up towards the house, caught the movement of a curtain in a front window, pretended not to see, working, then looked up. A woman was looking back at me, peering out between the curtains. She had an almost perfectly round white face, her eyes unblinking, staring, her breath fanning in and out against the cold glass. And then the other woman was there and the curtains were closed.
Hi. All done.
I didn't expect you to do the walk. That was kind.
No problem. I was in a groove, so I kept going. Will I leave the shovel here?
She still had on her overcoat, unbuttoned. She held it closed with her one hand, came out into the storm porch that surrounded the back door.
Oh, just lean it up against the wall. Now, I insist. Here's $30.
The other woman, the sister, short and squat, stood back in the gloom of the kitchen, her hands tumbling over each other. Tumbling.
Take it.
No, really. It was great exercise. I'll tell you what, though. I could use a hot coffee.
Her face went from worried to fear in a flash. But then, why not? Two women living alone? She stepped back.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're just on our way out, so, that won't be possible. But thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I think.
The window in my new room next door faced the wrong way, all right, but fortunately the kitchen in the back of the house had an excellent view. I wasn't too surprised when they didn't rush right out and get into the car. A little white lie in the interest of safety, or something else? Did they look the type that would abduct a child? What's the type? How can I tell? The one that did the talking looked anxious enough, thin-lipped, wary. But then so does half of Toronto. The other one, well, she just stared. The cutouts on the window under the gable. They could have been there for years. Dear Santa, help Karen. And so I sat at the Red Arborite table and thought, rolled and smoked cigarettes and thought, drank coffee until it got dark. Then they did come out the back door and through the snow to the garage. The tall one walking quickly, almost angrily, the other one trudging behind. They got in the car, backed up almost directly under me, down the slope to Dufferin Street, and drove away. I stood in front of their house. Then I walked up and down the street, up and down, because the light in the room under the gable was on again, and taped to the window there was the snowman and the Christmas tree and a Santa Claus, colored in red crayon. I didn't know what to do. I closed the storm porch door behind me, felt for the back door in the dark, found it. I knew that if I got caught and there was no child inside, I was, well, cooked. I also knew that the chain would be off because the two sisters came out that way, but how many locks would they have on their door? 17?
Jeez.
I slipped my plastic health card between the door and the door jamb, slid it down, it hit a lock. Tipped the card this way, that way, pressed down, and the lock clicked back. I left the card in place, slid my gas card into the jamb, and moved down some more. The card slid down, unobstructed, almost to the floor. I turned the doorknob, and the door swung open. She hadn't used the other two locks. It was a miracle. A fluorescent tube above the stove cast a faint bluish light in the kitchen. I took off my boots and held them in my hand. I figured I could be up the stairs and back down and clear of the house in about 2 minutes. All I needed.
Please, God. 2 minutes.
I crossed the kitchen, walked quickly down the hall. There was a light on in the front vestibule, turned, ran up the carpeted stairs to the second floor, then narrower stairs up into the dark of the third floor, slower now. A landing. And light. Light fanning out from beneath the door. A bare light bulb was hanging down from the ceiling. Children's toys scattered across the floor. A blackboard, a huge old dollhouse full of miniature furniture. And in front of the window, under the gable, a large chair. I could see the edge of a profile, a puffy sleeve, a calico dress.
Karen? Hi. I've come to help you, Karen.
I walked across the room, knelt beside the chair.
Karen.
A long eyelash, a rosy cheek, a turned-up nose. Karen was a large china doll. She was staring across the street towards the mall. In the distance, Santa was stamping his feet in the cold. And then I heard the two women come in the back door.
Now you've spoiled it. We're not going anywhere. Now I have to call them, and I have to explain everything. Oh, this is fine. This is just fine.
I had moved down to the second floor. I was standing at the top of the stairs.
It's always me. I have to do the explaining. I have to get on that phone.
Luann did this again.
Luann did that again. They're expecting us for dinner. Don't you understand?
She sounded like she was going to tear the house down. She sounded like she had lost it.
This is unforgivable. I won't put up with this behavior. I won't put up with it. Just get upstairs.
Don't, Peggy.
I won't. Just get upstairs now.
Peggy, please don't.
I won't stand for it. I won't.
I'm sorry.
Go on, get upstairs. Go.
The sister with the round face pulled herself slowly up the stairs towards me. I moved down the hall, stood against a doorway.
And you won't come down again until tomorrow! Do you understand, Luann? Do you understand?
Yes, Peggy. Yes, Peggy.
She went by me and turned up towards the third floor. Her hair was pulled loose across her face. A trickle of blood ran from her nose. She groaned every slow step she took. I waited for a moment. Everything was silent. Then I went back up the stairs and pushed open the door to the room.
The woman was sitting on the floor, huddled against the wall of the dollhouse. Now she held the china doll in her arms. She looked up at me in a kind of amazement, but not alarmed, as if she were staring at a dream. I crossed over to her. Her eyes were a milky blue, her face like a child's, her mouth slack and wet. I showed her the note.
Luann. Luann. Who's Karen?
She looked down at the doll, then back up at me. She held the doll tighter.
Dear Santa, help Karen. Who does Karen want Santa to help?
Luann.
Yeah, and so?
And so I just went back down the stairs. The other sister was on the phone talking to some uncle so-and-so, explaining why they wouldn't be there for supper, and I went out the way I came in. She didn't even know I was there.
And then we called this agency. They call it the Association for Community Living now. It's mental retardation. And they sent a worker out to investigate.
They said Luann had been abused for several months. There were bruises, broken rib.
I guess the mother had died over a year ago, and she was always the one who looked after Luann. And then when the two of them were left alone, the other sister, she just couldn't... I don't know. Something strange happened.
They said at first she denied it. Then she cried. Then she was grateful it was over. She said it was like a nightmare. She couldn't stop. She didn't know what to do.
So everything's gonna be okay now?
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, you done good. I mean, the both of you. Funny, eh? How you never can be sure what's going on with people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's going on between you two?
Nothing.
Nine days to Christmas and I'm broke. If I don't go home for Christmas or if I don't have any presents, my mother will kill me. I haven't started my novel yet either. Krista gave me a Christmas present, though. She made me open it early. An Aretha Franklin tape.
Jeez.
We've been listening to Midnight Cab No. 6, The Mystery of the Face in the Window by James W. Nichol. Featured in the cast were David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista, with Howard Jerome as Mr. Piatelli. Len Donchev was Santa, Peter McNeil was the landlord, and the street boys were Max Beckford, Daniel DeSanto, and Sasha St. George. Special guest stars this week were Elva Mae Hoover as Peggy and Alex Duncan as Luann. Music for the series is composed by Milan Kimlicka, and the casting consultant is Linda Grierson. Recording engineers this week were Joanne Anka, John McCarthy, and John Marinowich. Sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Production assistant was Nancy Dow. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell.